Hey, thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope the message you're about to hear blesses you and helps you follow Jesus like never before. If it does bless you, I'm going to ask you to do two things. One, to share this with somebody else so that they can be blessed by it just like you. And two, if you're blessed, I'm going to ask you to give, to be a part of supporting the ministry so other people can continue to have this resource. And so to give, you can go to cfmiami.org/give. Thank you so much. I pray you're blessed by this teaching.
Hey, can we give a shout of praise and magnify our Heavenly Father on this Father's Day? Come on. Amen. Hey, well, happy Father's Day to everyone. How you guys doing? Awesome. Hey, go ahead and say happy Father's Day to all around, to everyone around you, all the fathers, and then go ahead and take a seat at all campuses. Amen. Go ahead and take a seat right after. Hey, so good to be here. Well, hey, if you're a first-time guest here at Christ Fellowship, it's a great day to be here. Welcome. My name is Omar, and I have the honor and the privilege of serving as lead pastor here at Christ Fellowship. And I have to just give you a heads up. Today is going to be a little different. Normally, I would just teach a message and encourage you with a message, but today we're going to witness a conversation between myself and our former lead pastor, Pastor Rick Blackwood, which, by the way, he's a spiritual father to many of you all. Many of you have been led by Christ by Pastor Rick, and so today we're gonna witness that. And so, again, it's going to be a little different. And we were supposed to have this conversation last week, but he was hospitalized, and so therefore we could not do it. This week, we were hoping he could be here, but he's still hospitalized. And so we decided, you know what, Pastor Rick said, I still want to have the conversation. So we got a video crew, and we went to Baptist Hospital, and they were gracious enough to open a room for us. So we were able to have a conversation with him, and you know, just to give you a kind of heads up, a couple of things. Like I said, it's in Baptist Hospital. Second, I'm wearing a mask, because his immune system is down to barely zero because of the chemotherapy. And then also, which I don't know if I said it, but our lead pastor, he's been diagnosed with lymphoma. In case I didn't, I forgot to mention that. We've been talking about it for several weeks already, but here's something I want you also to keep in mind. You know, when we think of Pastor Rick, we think of Pastor Rick, Preacher Rick. He's always on stage with that voice and with that all that energy, right, that we've seen him for 23 years here. But today, we're going to see a little different side of Pastor Rick. The reality is he has his good days and his bad days. And so the day that we were able to capture this, it was one of his most delicate days. And so, you know, we're not going to see the usual Pastor Rick. We're going to see more of simply like a child of God who's just going through a hard season in life, and it's going to take a time to encourage not only us, update us, but also even encourage our fathers, right? So we're going to witness the conversation. I'll come back afterwards. I have a word also of encouragement for the fathers. We'll pray, and then we'll worship, and we'll be concluded, right? So in fact, take a look at the conversation.
Well, hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. You know, my name is Pastor Omar, and this is our beloved Pastor Rick, and we love you so much. And today we're just here. We're having a conversation with Pastor Rick. And as you all know, he's hospitalized in Baptist Hospital, but the hospital has been gracious enough to allow us to use a room here just to have a conversation. And Pastor, thank you so much for just being willing just to share your heart with us, with the congregation. We love you so much.
Pastor, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you inviting me. And Christ Fellowship, thank you for letting me just chat with you and at Pastor Zomar's request. And I love you all. You're the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You're always on my mind, always on my heart, always in my thoughts and my prayers. And I just want to thank you, Pastor Omar, for helping me. I'm going to do this. But Pastor Omar has been always a friend indeed, a brother. And listen, for every time you hear me preach, he's asked me to preach four times. And so gracious. And I always tell him, Pastor, they don't need to hear from the old guy. They need to hear from that voice, that powerful voice. And sometimes I just tell him, Pastor, honestly, selfishly, I need to hear from you, especially through times like this. And so you've been so gracious, Pastor. I love you for it, and I thank you for having me today.
Well, I love you, Pastor. You know, you're my pastor, like a father to me, a friend, a mentor. And so, listen, the love is mutual. We love each other. And
Pastor, just one thing for you, not 100%, I've kind of taken a step down just over the last hour. And I'm not sure I'm going to be clear. And so if I start rambling, which I'm liable to do, could you just put the train back on the track?
Don't worry about it.
I don't know where I might stay. I hope it's clear, makes sense.
Don't worry about it.
Thank you, though, Pastor.
Don't worry about it. But you know what? To start the conversation, I want to read a passage that you shared with me. That I think that is really encouraged you from God's word. And it's Psalms 34. Let me just read it for us. It says this. It says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved them out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who takes refuge in him. Praise God.
Such a powerful verse for me through this chemo, and had one through heart attack, one through cancer one, and this is number two. Number two cancer verse for me. God's just brought that word home to my heart. I'm so thankful.
Amen. So, Pastor, you know, how are you feeling? How are you doing physically, mentally?
Appreciate you asking, Pastor. Well, I think I told you, Pastor, from the head up, I'm happy, filled with joy and 100% peace. And I get up every morning, even here at the hospital, and just, Lord, what you got for me today, and what battle we got to attack. And so from here up, I feel good. Mm. From here down, it's like a freight train in me. it's all good. It's all good. I'm happy.
And, Pastor, I think we all are going to face moments in life that are going to be difficult. They're going to be challenging. They're going to be confusing at times. You're going through a moment like this, but I think, all of us in different ways, we're going to go through hard moments in life. You always mentioned to me that, that even despite all of what's happening right now, you have this overwhelming sense of peace in your heart. And, one of the things you told me is you always fear these moments, but the reality is you tell me that with the grace of God, you're at complete peace. The Lord is you feel the God's peace with you. And so, the question is, for when people go through this, how is it that you are experiencing the peace of heart, this peace in your mind and deep in your soul?
Pastor, first of all, some people think, you're the preacher, you've got this Superman strength in God. And you and I know we're not. Mm-mm. We're humans.
Absolutely.
And we're the same as you folks are. And so there's a number of things that help me. I'm gonna finish with God, because top of the pile, obviously. Amen. But number one, I would say my wonderful wife. I think the meds are making me a little teary, so forgive me. But she's been the love of my life and the life of my love for not long from now, a few more years, 50 years.
Amazing.
And Pastor wouldn't be here today without her. There were so many battles that she prayed me through, mm-hmm. pushed the love of God in me when I wanted to quit. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give up, and that I felt like, and she felt it like, the enemy was really in our house, you know, trying to get us. When there were times when we would cross, we would have gone somewhere, mm-hmm. and left sure. Miami-Dade, and we would cross, and although we loved the city and thought it was the most beautiful place we'd ever seen, we would stop and cry at the line because mm-hmm. we could feel it. Mm-hmm. Somebody was trying to stop us from coming in here, and she just prayed me through that time, and every sickness I've been through. I don't think she knew what she was marrying into, a sick guy, you know, that was going to be just sickly my whole life. Well, I've tried not to be, but she's just, and you know, Pastor, she's quiet. I mean, she just is a quiet soul, and she doesn't like it when I mention her from the pulpit. I wish I would have ignored that and said more, but she's just been there for me every step of the way, and I'll never be able to pay her back. You know? So she's one of the things that kind of wants me to, not one, just one, but the biggie that I want to stay with and enjoy more years with. The second's my children and my grandchildren. I won't try to name them all. I'm too forgetful right now, but I love them all. They love me, and they're all believers. All my children, you know, just love the Lord. Sometimes I look at them and think, wow, I wasn't even that strong, you know. And my grandchildren that know the Lord, and so that's the thing. Obviously, Christ Fellowship, you know, and you, Pastor, and the staff who are right around us right now, have just loved me even in retirement. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel like they forgot me. Yeah. And you've done a good job. And Pastor, lastly, of course, our Father. And again, I just approach him as a child, just like everybody in the congregation, same level, not special, but special because I'm his son. But I look to his word, you mm-hmm. know, that's where I'm like this Psalm 134. Mm-hmm. The Lord heard me mm-hmm. and heard this poor man's cry and delivered me from all my fears. That's what I've experienced. Amen. And I think of, you know, that verse, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, mm-hmm. I will fear no evil. Mm-hmm. Why? For thou art with me. And I love it, Pastor, that it says through the valley. You know, God doesn't promise to take us out. Mm-hmm. He promises to get us through, you know. Mm-hmm. Didn't take Noah out of the flood, took Noah through the flood. Mm-hmm. Didn't take Daniel out of the den, took him through the lion's den. Didn't take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, take them through him. And it'll take, just like he took Jesus through mm-hmm. the cross into the resurrection. I know he'll, if he doesn't take me through this, he'll take me to the resurrection.
Amen.
And, you know, I think sometimes we think of heaven as sort of like a consolation prize, you know. Hey, you didn't live, but at least you got heaven. But you know, and I know, and Christ Fellowship knows the Lamborghini's heaven, you know. Mm-hmm. And God has so much for us, the new earth. And so mm-hmm. I want to stay for friends and my wife and my children, but I get through this thing either way, you know. Mm-hmm. It's good.
You know, one of the things that I love that you said was that when you approach God, you're not approaching him as a pastor or some sort of leader. Man, you're just a child of God.
Yeah.
And I think from the beginning, I think one of the ways, the reason that we both connected so much and, you know, I think we have so much in common is really our identity is really in who we are as the children of God, as a child of God. And I think that's so important, you know, as we go through this, you know, as we go through seasons in life, that we can approach God as our Heavenly Father.
And Pastor, just, you know, this one more thing on that, you know, the series you did on that subject,
on prayer,
on our identity.
Yes.
It meant so much, you know, to me. It reminded me, don't wrap it up in that you're a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. I'm a child of God.
Amen.
Bigger than just a pastor. So thank you for this series.
Course. You know, what would you say to someone, you know, maybe people watching, joining us today, that maybe, you know, seeing, you know, what you're going through, and they may be having trouble believing that God is a good God. If God's a good God, how can he allow someone like Pastor Rick, who served them all his years, to go through something like this? You know, what would you say to someone who would say, how can God be a good God and allow this to happen?
Yeah. I think that's the question a lot of people ask in a time like this, you know. And again, you look at somebody like me or somebody like you, and you think they're extra special, but I can't say it enough. I'm on the same plane with you. My calling is your calling. Christ Fellowship is just as high as mine. So it's not like, oh, it's Rick. It's one of my children, too. Mm-hmm. So it's level. So, and, you know, God will teach me something through this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always found that he taught me the best, mm-hmm. when I was flat on my back, either mm-hmm. health-wise or financially, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
You got nowhere to look but up. And they're the most special times for us. So don't wish it off on me necessarily, mm-hmm. you know. He'll get me through it. And you know, if God blessed preachers,
mm-hmm.
Everybody, even unbelievers would want to be a preacher. You know,
mm-hmm.
they'd be the most greedy would be in line for the preacher job.
Right.
So, it's God knows. You've told me God knows our days, you know, mm-hmm. already, and they're numbered. And I'm at peace with that. So God is just. God is just. Mm-hmm. Always just.
Mm-hmm.
And just trust him. Yeah, it's going to be special for me either way.
You know, it's interesting you said that, because it's not even preachers, but if God protected every Christian from any illness, from anything, then the whole world would want to be. But the reality, then it would eliminate faith.
Amen.
You know, because
and love,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, because then no one's really seeking Christ, because, but it's just more, like you said, like for greed. I want to be, you know, I don't want ever anything bad to happen to me. But what I love is that, you know, when we put our trust in Christ and we become children of God, you know, God doesn't tell us, hey, you will never go through hardships in life. But what he does say is that he will always be with us. And that he will sustain us.
Which is better.
And, you know, there's a passage in the book of Isaiah where it says, I always love this passage. It says, you know, fear not. In Isaiah 43, it says, fear not, for I have redeemed you and I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. Why? For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Fear not, for I am with you. And I think that's so important for us to understand, because
that's my verse for the day.
Amen. You know, it's interesting, you know, the Lord, there'll be a day that we will feel no more hardship. You know, the Bible tells us that he's going to wipe every tear from our eye. And that day is coming. But through this time, the Lord promises us until that day that he will be with us every step of the way. It's interesting that God always gives us this sense of peace and guides us every step of the way, you know. And I think you're experiencing that, even going through a trial in your life, you know, you're experiencing the peace of God. And And it ultimately comes down to our faith in Christ, and that faith that connects us to the Lord allows us to experience the peace of God that honestly the world can never understand and the world can never have unless you are in the Lord. And so,
you know, Pastor, I noticed when I've taken chemo and stuff like that, and I see people around the room desperately trying to live because they don't know what's after this. They have no hope beyond it. And I always think, so sad, I feel like I've got this trump card called heaven, you know, yeah. I got in my pocket.
Right.
So, and they don't have that card, you know, it's so peaceful that, you know, God has such a plan for us. This is just the tip of the iceberg, what's coming, you know. But that's my new verse. What was it again?
Isaiah 40:43.
Write it down.
I'll get it.
I'll have that for the day.
You know, Father's Day is upon us, and you know, Father, you know, Rick, when I look at you, I see as a father, you're not perfect, but man, you've been such a great example to so many of what it means to be a father. So, you know, what advice would you give fathers on Father's Day?
First of all, I'm not the perfect father. Yeah. I know that. I appreciate you saying that. It's so true. But you know, I think I'm just going to say kind of randomly, I think one is just be there for your children, you know, be present in their lives. And I see you do that, Pastor, and just be present and maybe set the temperature of the home. You know, that verse says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, your wife to anger. Be the one that sets the temperature. I know we have a thermostat in our house. The thermostat controls the temperature, not the temperature controls the thermostat. So that thermostat, if it raises to 100 degrees, it's going to pull everything down to 72. You know, if it drops cold, it's going to pull it back to 70. So fathers, be the thermostat for, you know, when a crisis comes along, everybody's going to look to you for what's the temperature, Dad? What's the temperature, husband? Set the temperature as we're not going to freak out. Set the temperature as I'm not going to holler and scream and yell, because then you become not the go-to person. You're the person, don't tell him, because he'll overreact. Keep it from him. And you can't lead. So be the one that, in that crisis, when there's deep sorrow, don't be the one who crawls under the bed and crying and cry to God. But come out and set the temperature. It's going to be okay. I know just with my wife, I remember coming home from defending my doctoral dissertation, walking in the door, and she said, I gotta tell you something. And she told me one of our daughters was pregnant. And I could just see the look on her eyes, not these exact words, but what's the temperature, Rick? And I remember I just didn't say anything. I just closed my eyes and prayed, God, you know, give me the, she needs this to be right. And I just asked for peace. I don't always get this right, but, you know, hopefully most of the time. And I just said, honey, you know, we've got a baby coming, and we're going to love this baby. And we're going to bring this baby up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're going to help our child with this hard time. And I just saw the relief go off out of her face, you know, just in her, the relief come into her face because the temperature was set, you know, come, we're going to manage this. And then when my daughter came in and just sobbing, you know, and telling me, Daddy, I'll leave this city, you know, and I cried, you know, somebody, you know, when you have to run from Dad, you always run to Dad. And you know, I said, you don't have to run from God, you run to God. And I also said, you don't have to run from Christ's fellowship, you run to him. And it just set the mood of the house. And so we set that for a wife, we set that for children. Set, you be the thermostat, yeah, be the leader.
Wow, that ministered to me. And I just can't think of better father advice and on fathers than that. And you know, one of the things that I think our congregation knows is that I have a heart for the men. I want them to be the men that God's called them to be. And I've shared with our congregation, you know, it's as a leader of the home, you set the pace, right? You set the pace spiritually, you set the pace in all these different things. I had never thought about it. You set the temperature. And I think that's so important for even for me. So here, as a young father, that whether it's an issue with a child or just a trial that comes along, they look to me just to see how's the heart of dad and how is he leading us through this point. So that's invaluable.
I'm close enough to you to see you lead that family so beautifully. Yeah, you know, you're around the corner. And we talk a lot. And so just see you lead that little girl, little boy, and your wife. You know, you're good at it.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm learning from you, Pastor. you know, on Father's Day, it's also his grandfathers. So what advice would you give the grandfathers? Your grandfather yourself, so.
Pastor, I don't know. You tell me. Do I do okay at grandfathering?
Oh, I think you're doing great.
I think
little granddaughters love you so much. And, you know, one of the things that I've seen in you is you are just so loving to your grandbabies, your granddaughters. You know, you always talk about Autumn when she was growing up early on. And, you know, What I really appreciate and what I've learned from you is even at this stage is that it's easy when a man gets older and they're in the stage of being a grandfather, it's easy for almost to them to disengage and from the spiritual aspects of it. But you have been so, you've been such a godly figure. And I know that the grandbabies have their own parents and they're doing a great job, but they also need the example of a grandfather. And I think one of the things I would encourage you our people is, you know, when we get to retirement, you know, when we go into that grandparent stage, it's not a time to disengage, it's stay engaged, you know, because it is a beautiful season. I think children hear and learn things from their parents. But there's certain lessons I think only a grandparent, a grandfather could give, you know?
I think you're right, Pastor, yeah. And I think, you know, kind of it depends on your son-in-law and or mm-hmm. daughter-in-law and, yeah. You know, what kind of, and I got to tell you, Rebecca and Natalie have two wonderful husbands and they allow me, you know, mm-hmm. Come over and chat with me, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I hope I'm doing well there.
God on it.
It's a fun time in life.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is.
And you know, my father said we have a lot of young men who are going to be future fathers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what advice would you give to a young man growing up and you know, in the ways of the Lord? What advice would you give them as they're going through different seasons? And
you know, I guess maybe just on fatherhood, you're going to be one mm-hmm. sooner than you think, probably, and start early mm-hmm. learning to be a father. Listen, when Pastor Omar and the pastors are preaching on fathers and marriage, and listen attentively, take notes, put them away. Join maybe a men's small group.
Absolutely.
Or a couple small group and listen to what are others doing. You know, mm-hmm. how can I do that? You know, how can I be a better father? But don't wait to get married and have a kid to start learning to father. Mm-hmm. You'll be in the middle of the storm. Start now.
That's right. Pastor, as you reflect throughout the years, let's just kind of switching gears for just a moment. You know, you've been such a great teacher of God's word for so many years. I've learned a lot. The majority, if not everything I've known about preaching is by watching you and hearing you. You've done a lot of sermon series, a lot of different topics and stuff. Which is your favorite one? You look at all the decades of preaching. Which is one of the ones that you really love and that you really enjoy teaching?
I guess you know this. They're all like a baby to you.
Yeah.
You know, you just spend a 6 weeks with them, mm-hmm. maybe more than that, preparing. So every one of them is special. They're like a little baby,
mm-hmm.
and it's like they grow up, and you go, there they go.
Yeah.
But maybe I wish I knew what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a time when I didn't realize. I kind of thought people don't really believe that evolution stuff. They don't believe that. Nobody believes that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, this is a problem. You know,
mm-hmm.
if I start talking to you about the Bible and you're going, I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe there is a God. We got to back up, you know, start with, you're an atheist.
mm-hmm.
So that series was mm-hmm. fun. And I mean, to tell you the truth, I learned a lot myself just mm-hmm. digging through stuff. Wow. It made me amazed with God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess we always are, but that one sort of helped me. So I was feeding myself as much.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably my most mm-hmm. fun. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, you know, that series had such an impact in my own life years and years back. It was really, I think, what motivated me to last year to do Skeptics Welcome. And, you know, I kind of thought so powerful. So we went through the book of Genesis and we covered, you know, some of the things that you covered there. But it was such a cool, I agree with you. Even teaching about just the basics of does God exist?
Yeah.
You know, did he create? Yeah. Why did he create? I think just like you, I was ministered. Myself, my own soul, I needed to study that and remind myself of the wonders of God, right?
I listened to the messages. I was wowed again. Yeah. I was like, well, I didn't say that. That was amazing. So, yeah, it's fun to just look at, what is it, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory, all of that.
Absolutely. You know, as we move forward, and, you know, you see Christ fellowship and by the grace of God, God is protecting us and leading us. What would you say if you would tell me and our entire church, what would you say is, you know, one thing to keep in mind as we keep, you know, furthering the kingdom of God and furthering the gospel here? What advice would you give us? What charge would you give us?
So, Pastor, you know, I love Christ's fellowship, you know, with all my heart. But honestly, I don't think about it very much. And it's not because I don't love Christ's fellowship. I love him. But I don't have to think about that. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to, you know, where are they going? You know, what are they doing? And it's largely because when I handed that staff off to that baton, I knew I put it in the hands of the right man, and I've watched the congregation respond, and watched myself respond to the preaching of the word, to leadership. You're much better leaders than I. I'm not just saying I'm self-aware. I'm not, you know. It wasn't my strong suit, but you're a strong leader. I would just encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. You know, just keep plowing ahead, preaching the word. And by the way, you know, it made it look like I'm not there. I know when I retired, I kind of said I'll be around, I'll be serving, but I saw pastors that wouldn't go away. They retired and wouldn't leave because the scene and where interfering with the new pastor, and I didn't want to be that guy, you know. And so I wanted to be your cheerleader, kind of on the sidelines. So I'm there. I'm just got, you know, where my little spot is. I hang out there, I listen, I sing, I praise. But when the service is over, I don't live very far, so I just start making my way. It's not because I don't want to be there and hang out, but sometimes too tired. This has been with me a while. Mm-hmm. We're finding out this has been, we've been here a while. So I've been the past 2 or 3 years tired. Mm-hmm. So when the service is over, I go home, you know, just tired. Mm-hmm. But I guess the main thing is you as the pastor keep doing what you're doing, and the staff, like I said, who are some of them standing around us, best I've ever seen. Best I've ever seen.
They really are.
Yeah, I see some I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. like that, you know, new people, new blood. I see a lot I don't know, I should say. Yeah, this is great. I love it. And you gave me a law office, so sometimes I watch them going by. I go, I don't know that person. I know they're going to staff. I don't know that one. So to watch that, so a blessing. And then for the Christ Fellowship family, I mean, people used to ask me, you know, what are you doing, Rick, that's making this church grow? And I say, you know, we got these incredible people at this church. Amen. They just volunteer and serve. And they'd say, we know that, but what are you doing? I'd say, we got these incredible people, you know, that just do. And I just show up and sometimes find out what's going on, you know. And so just keep doing what you're doing, Christ Fellowship.
And so, you know, one of the things that I just, you know, really, one of the things I love about our relationship is that oftentimes the lead pastor, the former lead pastor, the lead pastor doesn't want the other guy to be around, but it's with you, it's not. I mean, we're such good friends. We love each other. And it's just, it's just great. You know, I'm begging you, stay this thing around. And you're like, no, you know, so.
It's so true.
Yeah. And listen, the fact, you know, our church family, man, that you're watching, it's amazing the grace of God in our family. Our church family, they just love God so much. They love Him and they're passionate about Him. And really, it's only because of the grace of God. God is moving in the hearts of our people in a very special way. And
they're easy to pastor. Right?
Easy. We love them. So,
Pastor, can I say one thing?
Of course.
Thank Baptist Hospital.
Yeah, of course.
They gave us this room. And
yeah.
There's actually a nurse outside monitoring me who stepped in and interrupted a while ago. Thankfully. My heart was a little fast, and she checked that, and so we thank them. They have, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a patient, they've shown a lot of love to us, and so we thank
them. Amen. Well, hey, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. It's an honor, Pastor, to be here with you, and just to hear, right, to hear him just share your heart, it's I think we're all just benefiting from all the wisdom that God has taught you throughout the years. And so thank you for just taking the time. And I want to end by praying. Can we do that?
Yeah. May I just say thank you to Christ Fellowship. And thank you. I covet your prayers. I can't respond to some of the emails, just too tired. But I just want you to know every email you send, I read. And I love it. And you'll never leave my heart. I can't get more words together mm-hmm. right now, but I can't find them. There's not the words to say how much I love you. Pastor, again, thank you for being my pastor.
Let's pray for Pastor. Lord, Father, we approach your throne, and like Pastor Rick just mentioned, we approach, Lord, as your children. And Father, we want to tell you we love you, Lord, so much. We're grateful for all the things you do for us. Lord, our heart and is right now with our dear pastor, Pastor Rick. And Father, we pray, first of all, for healing, oh Lord. Father, you would put your healing hand over him. And I know that chemotherapy is beginning to be administered, but Father, we all know doctors don't heal. Medicine don't heal. Only your hand heals. You are the creator, the restorer of our bodies. And Father, we pray that you would put your healing hand over him, that you would lead this process, oh Lord, that you would just protect his body as he gets this treatment, oh Lord. And Father, may he be sooner than later, Lord, be be up and ready to go and continuing to be the man of God you've called him to be. So Father, thank you for a pastor. But Lord, we also pray for his mind, for his heart. Put a hedge of protection around his heart and mind, Lord. Protect him from the enemy's discouragement, and Lord, fill him with your peace and with your love. We pray for his bride, for his wife, Rhonda. Bless her, O God, protect her heart and mind as well. And his two daughters and all the little granddaughters, Lord, bless them, O Lord, and protect them. Thank you for this time, O Lord, that we were with him, Lord. Bless them, O Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, let's praise God. Amen. Amen. I hope that encouraged you. You know, Pastor Rick has been a spiritual father to so many of us here. Many of you were led to Christ by Pastor Rick. And so let's continue to pray for our pastor as he goes through this season. But I want to end today's service by encouraging you with, especially the fathers, with a verse that Pastor Rick actually mentioned in the conversation. It's from Colossians chapter 3. It says this. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become what?
Discouraged.
You know, oftentimes fathers wonder, how can we be the fathers that God is calling us to be? It may seem so complex, it may be so difficult at times, but here's what your Heavenly Father is reminding you today. In fact, it's only one of two direct commands given to fathers in the New Testament, only two. And again, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Now, our good Lord is reminding us that fathers are in a unique position to either encourage their children or be a source of discouragement for their children. And so what our good Lord is reminding us here today is that whenever our children should think of us as fathers, as grandfathers, they should think of us as someone they could always run to be encouraged. In other words, when they think of dad, when they think of their granddad, right, they should be someone that when they draw near to them, they should always walk away encouraged. You know, it's interesting if you think about it, every time that you and I, when we draw near to our Heavenly Father, have you noticed that we always walk away encouraged? There's never a time that we draw near to our Heavenly Father that we walk away discouraged. And so that's exactly what our children should feel like when they approach us as fathers. You know, whether you're celebrating with them, whether you're just teaching them about life, or even in those moments where you're correcting, when we're disciplining our children, at the end of the day, they should walk away encouraged. Amen. You know, the word encouragement simply means to infuse hope. And to infuse hope into the heart, into the soul of someone. You know, the honest truth that this world has a way of really discouraging our children and removing the hope in Christ from their heart. But folks, when they come to us, we should infuse hope back into their heart as fathers. You're wondering, well, Omar, how do you do that? How do you infuse hope back? How do you encourage our children? Well, actually, the secret is in the second command in the New Testament for fathers. Oddly enough, almost exactly the same. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the what?
Instruction
of the Lord. You see, just like your Heavenly Father encourages you through his word, in the same way, fathers, let's be men, let's be grandfathers who encourage our children, our grandchildren through God's word. Amen. In the moments of celebration, listen, remind your children of God's goodness and his grace. In the regular teachings of life, remind them of God's faithfulness and his love. And even in those hard moments where you have to correct, where you have to discipline, remind them of God's faithfulness and his mercy towards us. And so here's how I want to end today, and we're going to then worship. I'm going to ask all the fathers and father figures at all campuses, just stand up. If you're a father right now at all campuses, go ahead and stand up. And can we encourage our fathers today? Amen. Amen. God bless you. And so let me end by praying over our fathers, a specific blessing over us. Let me pray and then we'll worship. Father, we approach our good heavenly Father. And my Lord, my prayer for the men of our church, Father, is that first of all, that you would help us be the men, the leaders that you're calling us to be. Father, you would put a holy desire in our hearts to always be the men, the godly men that would lead our families, that would set the pace in our families. Father, I pray for us, like Pastor Rick said, that we would be the ones who set the temperature in our home. The Father, when the great times in life, when the bad times in life comes, Lord, that the steady presence in our home would be us, the fathers, because we are relying in you, Lord. We are holding strong to you, our wonderful Heavenly Father. Let us set the temperature at home in every season of life. And last but not least, Father, I pray that our men would be a source, the fountain of encouragement in our homes. That, Lord, when our children, when our grandbabies, when they run to us, Father, I pray for the men of this church that we would be reminded that your command to us is to encourage, to speak truth, and to infuse hope into the heart of the children you've entrusted us. And so, Father, as we move forward, help us be the men you're calling us to be. I pray for a specific blessing over us today. And Father, may you lead us as we move forward. Thank you, Lord, for being our good Heavenly Father. It's in the precious name of Jesus I pray, and all of God's people say, amen, amen.